This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue to wade through our technical issues today. So, Grant Newsham joined us this morning. So, after the tone, you'll hear him.
Grant speaking.
Grant, welcome to All Marine Radio after some technical issues. How are you?
Okay, fine, thanks.
All right, first of all, we always do the Where's Waldo portion of the program, so where are you today?
It's a little different than before. I'm in Australia.
Okay, give us an update. What are you doing in Australia? Do you like Australia?
I do. I'm in Sydney. I was doing some research on the usual Asia-Pacific defense stuff. So I've been in Sydney and over to Canberra as well.
Okay. I want to ask you about Korea here in a few minutes, but I've got a theory that I've been developing in my head as I've kind of moving in an expeditionary manner around the country. So here's my theory. I believe China walks a bit of a tightrope in that a modern industrial nation, yes. However, can't be too modern, still a communist nation. We still need to control content because we do have problems with our own population and making sure that we stay on the right path relative to our communist style of government. And the first thing anybody who does a totalitarian rule has to do is control information to the masses. So while we want to be an advanced industrial nation, as we want to promote an increased standard of living, it does have its limits. So to me, China walks kind of a precarious path in all of this. Also, they have India on the backside, and also they have the world's global organization, financial through the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, political through, governmental in terms of the United Nations. So you have this infrastructure that has kept the world out of war, essentially, major wars, major state war, for a long time. China seeks to append that, in a way, to become the world's greatest power. I don't think they can do that because I think their free nations would perceive a communist dictatorship in that position as not a good thing. So I'm curious, one who's so learned as you, what do you have to say about the postulations of a novice Pacific Rim analyst and world watcher?
I think you're on the money. What you've described is probably several PhD theses in there.
Yes.
There's a lot to it.
You can call me Dr. McNamara then.
Okay, Doc. There's a few sort of odds and ends or nuances or just different ways of looking at all of this. But basically, you're onto something. A couple of the things worth, I think, of interest. China plays this game of considering itself a great nation, a modern, first world country, and then will claim, well, we're just a developing sort of per capita GDP. It's trying to have it both ways, saying, well, you have to take us seriously, you have to accredit everything we say because we're a great power. Oh, but we're really just very poor. And this is partly a way to just sort of what you call lure us into not being attentive, but also by claiming it's a developing nation, it stands to get billions of dollars in trade benefits, but also in the climate change fund. This would cause the Americans and the free world, the civilized world, to hand over tens of billions of dollars to the Chinese because they're a developing nation. So there's a double game being played here that one always has to keep in mind, that China does claim to be, a great power, but then it tries to sort of placate the West and the Japanese by saying, oh, but we're really not, we're just a poor nation, so we want to get the stuff, get the loot that the free, poor, the developing country is entitled to. As for the idea of keeping control, that's very much centered to Chinese Communist Party thinking. And everything does center around control in these kinds of regimes, which in some ways resemble organized crime rackets. And that is the key to everything, because without it, they lose power, they lose their houses, their access to the good things that the ruling elite always has in these kinds of regimes. But also there's a little more to that, is that there is a huge chunk of the Chinese population which has experienced firsthand some real chaos of the sort that America never had. Imagine if you had, say, an entire nation that was like Portland, Oregon, when these left-wing fascists are out protesting and causing trouble. That's what China was for many years, and in recent time, the Cultural Revolution, Great Leap Forward, the entire communist experience, the Civil War. Civil Wars is a better way to put it, World War II. So you have a great sense of uncertainty or an awareness of what comes when there's chaos in a country. And that is actually part of the reason why many Chinese actually are willing to tolerate sort of the level of government or ruling elite control that would. So that does weigh into the thinking, and one can understand it up to a pretty large point, I think. Yes, as you note, China is trying to subvert international organizations so it can, one, get all the benefits from it, from them, so that they, whatever these groups do, if they do something nice, there's others, that's fine. But ultimately, the objective is to have these organizations like the IMF, the WTO, World Trade Organization, World Bank, Interpol, have them subverted so that they serve Chinese wishes entirely. Interpol, the organization, is a case in point. It's now run by a former, I think it was a number two in the Chinese Ministry of State Security. And this is a nasty organization. And here you've the MSS, the State Security in China. And now you've got a prominent member of it who is now the head of Interpol. How much more discrediting can something get? It brings to mind things like the UNHCR. As I said, those are just some of the... and the last thing I would point out is when we talk about China seeking this sort of global control, and we do like to think, well, the free world, the civilized world will wake up at some point and then push back and stop it. But one wonders if that's all going to happen, you know, particularly that the Chinese are... The People's Republic of China has got some really intelligent people. And sometimes when you can harness technology, can build up enough military strength, it is possible to intimidate a lot of people and even maybe an entire world. Who knows? You know, I would not rule this out as a possibility if the aforementioned civilized world doesn't wake up pretty quickly. And in terms of what China could be, look to Taiwan. There's no reason why China has to be the modern equivalent of the Mongols pouring off the steppe in the 13th century heading to sack Krakow, which is how they've come to be regarded. Just look to Taiwan if you want to see what China's capable of in a good way. So there's a long soliloquy on what's on your PhD ideas.
What do you have to say about I chuckle now. Google pushed back, their parent company Alphabet pushed back on the department, working with the Department of Defense relative to artificial intelligence, because they don't want to be any part of that. Yet you have Google, Apple, now a trillion-dollar company, tripping over themselves to do to one exploit Chinese labor. Okay, that iPhone, right? Some components of it are made on the backs of Chinese that are getting paid not a whole lot of money to make it. Okay, Google, in order to operate in China, has to make concessions in terms of censorship. So these very liberal companies, right, seem to be going down the exact same roads that very conservative companies did, very capitalistic conservative corporations did, in order to exploit workers and quote-unquote, the way you slick that one up is, say, economies of scale. Do you find that as humorous as I find it? Because it's to me, it's the height of hypocrisy.
Yes, I have the same opinion. When I see this sort of stuff, it actually makes me feel really smart. Because, even I can figure out that this is like dealing with the Nazis, and it's not something that decent people don't do. You've mentioned the hypocrisy that goes on there. It's stupidity, hubris, take your pick. Just it is basic greed of the sort the ancient Greeks used to write tragedies about. But is this just overwhelming human stupidity that you see these companies, or better said, the people who are at the very top or have a decision-making authority in these countries, in these companies, manifest? There is no justification for this. What you will hear is, because we engage them economically, this is going to transform them into nicer people. It will force the local governments to have to give up some control. America and capitalism are not a threat, etc. Those arguments have been trotted out, at least since the Nazi era, and I would suspect going back to Nebuchadnezzar's era in some form or another. This is nothing new, but it is just blatant hypocrisy of the very worst sort. China has got concentration camps, amongst everything else. It's destroying Christian churches. You've mentioned the thought control, which is the Chinese Communist Party's thing. So what exactly is the good thing about this that warrants a company like Google and Apple telling the U.S. government to basically go F itself? But China's a great place to engage with, to do business with. It really does. It staggers one that you can have people like this in this day. But then again, when you think of human nature, it isn't all that surprising. When you think of what money the attraction of money will do for people, and really, I'd say that the half education that a lot of business people have, where what they've learned is a slice of business, but know nothing about the sort of the larger things like politics, human rights, even a little history helps, a little context also to be able to distinguish the difference between a United States, practically everyone on the planet wants a green card to live in, and then a regime like the Communist Chinese regime, which, as far as I know, nobody is tunneling under the Chinese border to go and live in China. it really does. It's astonishing, and I hope that maybe the press and certainly the politicians will take this up and go after these companies. One wonders, given the way that financial political contributions work, but it would be nice to think it could happen.
It doesn't seem to be a subject that they want to address, because there is no other motive than profit in dealing with China. And it's a huge motive, no doubt, but it is as bald as the American Fruit Company and Continental Can Company going down into Latin America and doing the things that the United States did there for profit. It is purely for profit. Yet there is no blowback. What was the story in the last month, Grant, or the last couple months about the Chinese creating camps to re-educate Muslims out of the Islamic faith? I mean, that goes nowhere. You don't see Chairman Xi, you know, ask that question in public. You know, it's all the trade wars that have been precipitated by the United States. And yet, anyway. So I just find it, if it weren't so serious, I would find it laughable. But it is serious, and I find it pathetic that these people that profess these liberal values get in bed with a communist nation that exploits its people.
Well, and it's not just exploits, it murders them, it kidnaps them, it takes their organs without permission. Go to Silicon Valley and wear a Make America Great hat again and see what happens to you. And yet these are people, you know, who drive their BMWs, you know, pay $2 million for a vacant lot so they can do anything not to put their children into public schools. But we'll all, you know, must vote 90% sort of Democratic, and yet do business with a country like you've just described, like I've described, and no problem at all. They do not see any sort of contradiction there in terms of what they claim to be about and then what they actually do in real life. So it is depressing. You have one day, you know, along the lines of something you said, you know, with these companies, one hopes to find a CEO of any prominence say that his company cannot afford to be in China, and therefore he's going to stay steer clear of that market until it is a place to safely do business, till it is one that does not oppress and torment its citizens. You just wait to hear that, and one wonders if maybe there should be courses like that in MBA programs, or if there were actually some stockholders with some backbone who would raise these uncomfortable questions with these companies. If some of the big pension funds were to do this and threaten to pull out the way they did with companies that invested in South Africa, then you might get some change. But until then, I don't think so. But the argument you hear is, well, we have to be there for the money. When I used to work with a Wall Street firm, I remember one of them, it would studiously avoid doing business with companies that had any taint with organized crime, even though it was common practice in that market and even though all their competitors were doing that. And I asked their president if he minded giving up business like that, and he was a scary French-American guy, and he says no, because people see what kind of company we are and we get more business as a result. And I thought that was impressive, and one would like to see that, like, more than once. But, you know, I'm not holding my breath.
Switch gears. So to me, there's this kind of doomsday scenario with China. They will take over the world militarily. They will take over the world, and we're all just standing here waiting for it to happen. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it. My guest this morning, Grant Newsham, retired Marine Corps colonel, intelligence type, our expert on Pacific Rim things, and he's made us smart about a bunch of stuff. Give me your take on the dance on the Korean Peninsula. Remains were returned the same week. A report surfaces that there is activity. It looks like normal activity at an ICBM. Production facility, does that mean they continue work, blah, 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 blah. So give us your take on things on the peninsula. Going as expected, sideways mostly, waiting for somebody to make a serious move. What's going on?
Oh, boy. You know, I would hesitate to declare it like a failure or a complete sort of return to what it was and has been. But that's kind of where I'm afraid it's going. And, you know, one notes that China has basically relaxed any sanctions that they had on North Korea, apparently. The Russians have been doing their best to make sure that North Korea has plenty of oil, etc. So the sanctions regime, at least the belief that China might participate in it, I think that's pretty much done. And you do hear the reports that the North Koreans are just continuing apace with their missile and nuclear development. The return of remains, that's never impressed me very much. That's a sort of a cynical move that the North Korean regime has played for a long time. Yes, it's a good thing in a way, but does it really have a strategic effect, or does it demonstrate a real change of thought on the North Korean regime's behalf? I don't think so. And they probably got a warehouse of bones, and they will roll out a bit as circumstances require, whereas they think they might shape American thinking a little. So I don't, as I say, I'm just not optimistic about where this is headed. As we've discussed over the months, it does seem like once again Lucy pulled that football up so poor Charlie Brown took a kick at it. But in fairness, the Trump administration really didn't have much of a choice but to try and see what could be done with North Korea. They had been backed into that position by the South Korean administration when the South Koreans invited the North Koreans to the Winter Olympics and started that charm offensive. So if the Trump administration had just downplayed that, had tried to, had not acquiesced, it would have been accused of being warmongers who were not given peace a chance.
Right.
So they went ahead and did the other, and they're declared to be naive, who've appeased this horrible dictatorship. So you can't win either way. But I think we'll end up before long back where we were at the end of last year. So that's just my sense. I'm not optimistic. But also keep in mind that I'm just an observer, and that the people in the administration in charge of this, they're the ones who have all the information and ultimately have all the responsibility for trying to make something good happen. So I support them, and I hope they can pull something off. But just based on what we've seen for many years, I have a feeling this may not end up very well.
So, you know what, I think that, I think a lot, some people may have cringed when you made your comment about they have a warehouse full of bones, but I would say that's exactly what they have, we'll return X percentage. It'll be great. With great fanfare, the Americans will have funerals, and this will be, we'll keep the dog away from the door for a while, and we'll go down. Which seems to me your admonition to be cautiously pessimistic is turning out to be the appropriate way. Tell me, what are you writing about? What's the next piece we're going to see from you?
No, I don't know. I had to sort of take a little break so I could let the resentment build up and try to think of the topics. But the thinking about something about Taiwan's military, they've apparently just announced a defense budget. A lot of it's going to R&D research, which is a good thing. But their fundamental problem in Taiwan is that serving in the Taiwan military is not a respected profession. I'd compare it to, say, being in the U.S. military before Ronald Reagan took over. One manifestation of this is the terms of service in the Taiwan military are just, they're not very good. Salaries are low. They live in places without air conditioning. It's like it used to be, say, before Mr. Reagan came and started, showing the military mattered by spending more money on the troops. So that's the angle, is that, they could double the defense budget, but until service is a respected profession in Taiwan, that's going to be a real shortcoming and potentially a fatal one.
Fatal shortcomings I've learned in my life are things that you certainly ought to address. Will they address it?
I think they could. Would I bet, a lot of money on it?
Your season tickets to the Washington Nationals or the Redskins? Would you bet either one of those?
That'd be a tough one. I think they could. I think they could. But it would require, I think, more of a sense from that the United States is definitely going to support them in what's coming with China. And that's the fundamental requirement for bolstering Taiwan, is to address the psychological angle so that the Taiwanese people writ large do genuinely think that America will fight for them if necessary. And also the mainland China has to understand that too. So there's a psychological angle which needs to be addressed, because just throwing money at the military without this assurance of U.S. support is ultimately, it's not being as productive as it could be. So that's a long way of saying it's at least possible. You know, some places things are not, some things are just not going to happen, like fixing the American Social Security system, which everyone knows needs done, or addressing entitlements, but nobody will do it. That, I would suggest, is impossible. Spending more money on the troops in Taiwan, I think that's a little bit easier.
Interesting. All right, sir. First of all, what time is it local time in Australia right now?
Well, it's about 2 a.m.-ish.
Well, I always appreciate you either staying up late or getting up early, and I will not impose on you further. So thank you very much for the visit. I feel fortified that in my musings about China, and that the boxes that I see them in don't lend themselves to world domination. But I do think it will take a number of companies having bad experiences where they get sideways with the Chinese government, and the Chinese government looks at them and says, hey, go ahead and leave. Your partner is here. We have your technology. We don't need you. Goodbye.
That's how it works. That's how it has worked in the past, and it'll work in the future. But like a lot of things, and where business is involved, everyone thinks they're different.
But I'm different. It'll be different with me. Interesting. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the visit.
Sure. Pleasure. Anytime.
All right. There you have it. That is the one and only Grant Newsham here on All Marine Radio. Now, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and looking for a different result. So you're going to see a portion of it right here. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.